This is an aspect of the life of God which is absolutely miraculous and amazing. And in that work, Mayabhava took himself as a seeker of God up onto a hilltop overlooking Marizad, had a little seclusion hut erected up there, went into it for a period of 30 or 40 days, and accomplished this mananasic seclusion work in which he brought himself out of this helpless and hopeless stage and put himself back up in authority as the avatar, as the divine being. He regained, by his own efforts, by his efforts as a seeker, as a sincere pilgrim, he regained the divine state that he had originally accomplished. And this are all phases of the life of this man. All phases of this man's life. And you have the beginning of stage, then you have stage six, which is the complicated free life. And that's when Baba came to America and it was a period in which freedom, in which bindings dominated freedom. And this is the way Baba described it. The bindings that he had assumed as in his divine work dominated his own freedom. And this was the period in which Baba had his terrible automobile accident in Oklahoma. It was the complicated free life in which bindings dominated freedom. After Baba's recovery from the automobile accident, which took several weeks of convalescence, mostly here in Myrtle Beach, Baba entered into another short phase of his life called the full free life. And in the full free life, freedom dominated bindings. And Baba became free to do whatever he saw right to do, to give darshan, not to give darshan, to go to make world tours, not to make world tours, anything. Freedom dominated bindings. And this was a short period also which culminated in what Baba has referred to as the fiery free life. And in the fiery free life, Baba said that for him, both freedom and bindings were consumed in the fire of divine love. Which means that Baba went on to transcend all freedoms and all bindings, and to become one, to become consciously and one with the infinite, and have the authority to assert this as a human being. And the authority, as Baba has explained it, the authority that Baba had at this point was the authority which he gained in the new life from having demonstrated to his complete satisfaction that he had lived a life of perfect humility. And it was on the basis of the new life, the life of perfect humility, that Baba was, after the fiery free life began, able to declare publicly to the whole world that he was in fact the avatar, the highest of the high, the ancient one. And Baba was able to make this claim, having regained the old life status while retaining the new life st- status. The old life was a life of perfect divinity. The new life was a life of perfect humility. And it was on the basis of the old life of perfect divinity and the new life of perfect humility, and on the stance of that perfect humility, which he had demonstrated completely to his own satisfaction, that he had accomplished, that he was able to say in all humility to the world, I am the divine beloved, worthy of being loved, because I am. And this really was basically the final phase of Baba's life, in which he lived the life of the divine beloved in human form on earth. So there are so many phases and aspects to Baba's life that there isn't anything that you could say about Baba that really wouldn't be true, except you could say that Baba was always completely honest and completely loving, and never anything but that. But if you could say, someone could say to you, well, I think that Mayor Baba was just a very fine man. But there is no such thing, but it's just ordinary people in the world. And you could say, yes, indeed, Mayor Baba was definitely, without a doubt, an ordinary man. He definitely was that. He said that he was. And he lived a part of his life proclaiming himself to be just that. So there's no argument if someone says to you, well, Mayor Baba, I take Mayor Baba to be an ordinary man. There's no argument that indeed he was. And it's only our faith that makes us say, yes, it was God living the life of an ordinary man. That's faith. Because we don't know. Baba has touched something in me and in many others that makes me feel inwardly that Baba, who cannot possibly be anything other than what he says that he is. And I've often wondered if I would have doubts about this if I had not gone to India and actually met Mayor Baba and actually been with the man for a little bit of time, an hour and a half. If I hadn't gone there, I wonder if today I would still be able to have this conviction that Mayor Baba is exactly what he says he is. I often wonder if it was in order to get me to have that conviction, Baba had to pull me over to India to sit at his feet. And I really so often feel this really sincere and genuine respect for the many people who have this faith, who have this conviction, without ever having met their Baba, without having seen the splendor of the man. Having met Baba, I can say that my conviction is based on having had a physical contact with him and having been right there and having his love and his authority made perfectly evident to me. But how can this be that all of you here in this room, I think, have come to Baba since he has dropped his physical body, when there was no chance of seeing him in the physical body? I think that it's just amazing. And I think that it's just another sign of the divine authority of Mayor Baba, that he can draw lovers to him in greater numbers now that he has dropped his body than he did while he was in his body. This seems to me to be Baba's manifestation. And I think that that's really as much as I need to say about it. What does anybody else feel?
What do you think the possibility is of those people who have not met Baba in physical form this lifetime, having met him perhaps in a early lifetime?
Well, Baba, that certainly has to be taken into account, because Baba did say that no one comes to him closely. Who that means to follow him, who has not had previous contact with him in other incarnations. Mm-hmm. No one comes to him who has not had previous contact with him in previous incarnations. Just like Baba said, it's impossible. It's virtually impossible to marry anyone that you haven't known for many, many lives. It couldn't happen.
What about, I know many, many people, at least who I know, are quite young, and it's very possible that I could have met Baba even in this incarnation.
Absolutely.
In Baba's incarnation.
As right. Meher Baba. Yeah.
Right.
You could have been, you could have met him anywhere in the world, as a matter of fact, necessarily in India, not necessarily in America. And that Baba, having made the contact, Baba has brought you all back to be here now.
I know there are many, many stories I hear from many people, including some of my own experiences of... I feel definitely that I've met Baba, even though I haven't met him consciously, physically, in this lifetime. That there are many times, even in dreams and in other experiences, where Baba has come to me, and it's a definite meeting. It's a definite darshan. There's no doubt about it in my mind and heart that it's not. And so, in a sense, I don't feel I've missed anything.
Yeah, well, that's really the thing that fascinates me so much.
I think that's one of the very important things of following the Avatar, is that you didn't have to meet him in the physical form in order to feel his presence within, whereas a perfect master, you do have to have that contact.
You do have that physical contact. Yes.
So that's one of the sort of incredible things about following Baba.
Yeah. Well, look how they follow Krishna and Jesus thousands of years after he lived. Mm-hmm. But Baba said that the incarnation of the Avatar is like an electric fan which you turn on, and it's running very fast on the motor while the motor is going, and that's like his incarnation. And then the motor gets switched off, but the fan goes on spinning for a long time after the motor gets switched off. And the current of air, you could call the manifestation of the fan, right? And that manifestation goes on for a long time until the fan begins to slow down. And that probably means the image,
the image, the clear image that we have of the God-man begins to fade.
Do you ever think that image will fade for us, or do you think the image will just continually grow clearer and clearer? Or do you think that the image fades just for, say, humanity in general? Or will people start making religions of this, or will that contact, will that inner contact grow eventually stronger?
Well, they'll make religions of it all right. Don't you think? Because isn't the religion the effort to keep alive this spiritual state after it's lost its momentum? The religion. When did the Christian religion really begin? It began about 200 years after Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When the initial impact of his having lived on Earth, that's having been here, the momentum was beginning to lose. It was beginning to lose momentum, and then you have the building of the church.
Do you think that the loss of momentum, though, do you think that was by his close ones, or is that by...
No, that's by the masses.
Right, by the masses, by the world. Right.
By the world,
right.
Yes.
Right.
The world will never have the fervor. Well, no, the world at large cannot be expected to have that kind of fervor because human souls are in all stages of their evolution. Human souls. Mm-hmm. Are in stages of evolution. And some human souls have not reached the point of spiritual evolution to a point where they begin to live that life.
Mm-hmm.
And then Baba said, I'm for all, but I... My work is for all, but I come for a few.
I come for the many, but I am for the few.
Yeah.
His universal work is for all. The work that Baba did, the work and the suffering that Baba did was not just for his lovers, by anyone, by anyone else. It was for the whole, not the whole world, but the whole universe. His suffering was for the whole universe, his work and suffering. And in Christianity gets off on wrong ideas. So many theologians have intervened between Jesus Christ and the present day, mm-hmm. that they have shaped it the way they want it to be. Let's face it. The theologians have gotten in there and they've given us a Christianity and they've given us a Jesus Christ that is doctrinaire. And that, for example, what do we mean by Jesus Christ that is doctrinaire? I mean putting the fact that Jesus died above the fact that he lived as a doctrine. That it's more important that he died than it is that he lived. Well, I feel that the life of Jesus Christ is more important than his death. Or so-called death on the cross. And that Jesus' suffering on the cross was more important than his having died on the cross. They say that he died on the cross. There's evidence to contradict that. But whether or not Jesus died on the cross, I happen to personally believe that he did not die on the cross. This is not important. The importance of the crucifixion in the life of Jesus Christ was the suffering that he took on for the world and for the universe. A doctrine can change that. A religious doctrine can alter the life of the God-man so much that it's actually turned around, so that his death becomes the whole religion. The death, the dying on the cross, is the whole religion. Well, the life of Christ is
the life of Christ ought to be the religion, and you take a great mystic, perhaps the greatest Christian mystic that ever lived, St. Francis, he was concerned with the life of Jesus Christ, trying to live that life himself. And he was concerned with the crucifixion, but he was concerned with the suffering. He wanted to share in the suffering of Christ on the cross. He wasn't looking to drop his body. He was looking to get into the life of Christ so completely that he would become one with Christ. And Baba says that he did, that St. Francis became one with Christ. So St. Francis, he stayed within the framework of the church, and that was part of his genius and the charismatic nature of his personality, that he could always get along with anybody, including popes. But basically, Francis was trying to live the life. He was not concerned with doctrine or dogma. Dogma is what some people, bossy people usually, think they have to lay onto the masses. Dogma. And when the dogma comes, then you don't have Baba anymore. When dogma starts to take over with Baba, whatever you want to call it, the Baba movement, then we're no longer going to have Baba, we're going to have Babaism. And we don't have Babaism now, we each have Baba. And you do with Baba, you do Baba in your own way. Whatever way you can do Baba, do it. Nobody is telling you how to do Baba, how to live Baba, how to love Baba. Nobody is telling me how to love Baba. And if anybody tries to tell me how to love Baba, I let it go in one ear and out the other. Because I have to love Baba the way I am. I can't change myself. Baba always said, be yourself. And if a person is being honest and sincere and living the life, and we know what life that is, then that's all that's necessary.
What do you think about new humanity? When Baba spoke about new humanity eventually changing the world so that we can all live in peace and love and harmony and all be conscious of Baba's love. And do you ever think that, think that'll be a total change in history, or will that be something that's from years and years and lifetimes to come?
It'll be a total change in history, yes, but I think it's long in the future. This is the time for holding fast to Baba's Dhamma. To just holding on to Baba.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe personally that the new humanity is here.
Do you feel the new humanity will do away with the religious dogma that has changed, let's say, Christ's story or Buddha's story, and that eventually that
new humanity would be devoid of dogma.
Mm-hmm. Does it all start over again after that?
Well, see, Baba said we are approaching the end of the cycle of cycles, and that means the beginning of a new cycle of cycles. And the cycle of cycles is huge; it's millions of years. And Baba says he is the last incarnation of this cycle of cycles, covering millions of years. This will immediately be followed by the beginning of a new cycle of cycles. And a cycle of cycles begins with the Golden Age, in which everything is happiness, spirituality. We can't conceive of that because we're in the Kali Yuga Age, which is the worst of times. And we can't imagine that how is God going to take us over from the worst of times. And Baba said these times are the worst of times that have ever been. He said it's worse than it was in the time of Noah. And how is God going to take us over from the worst of times to a golden age in which the divine life is actually established on earth and is lived by humanity? How is this going to happen? Well, that's what Baba came to work out. How Baba came as the avatar in this century to work out the logistics of how am I going to bring this ignorant humanity across into a new cycle of time, a new age, a new beginning for the whole world. That's what Baba was working on. That was his universal work. I'm sure it was. Because of when he came, the last avatar incarnation in this cycle of time. But that's not important to us. Well, whether there's going to be a golden age and whether there's going to be a beginning and an end of the world or the beginning of the world or anything, it's not important. It's important to do what Baba says in that new life statement, to hold on to the hand of truth. And we don't have to convert anybody, because if someone is holding on to Christ, it's the same. Jesus became Baba 2,000 years later. And why get it? Who, if somebody is really, really, really into the life of holding on to Jesus, why would anyone want to change that? When Jesus is Baba and Baba is Jesus. But we could, for me, I couldn't see Jesus as Jesus until I came in contact with Mir Baba, until I found Baba. And then I understood what it meant, what it means to believe in Jesus and love Jesus. And love the life of Jesus. Not only then did I begin to understand. So it's not a case of going out and converting anybody either. It's that Baba works for us. I mean, if Baba is the right thing for us, that's enough. It doesn't have to be for everybody else. What time is it? Well,
new life. Mm-hmm. You must have read the diary of new life.
The diary, yeah.
It's not called the diary, though.
It's called The New Life of Avatar Mir Baba and His Companions. That little black book?
Yeah. Yep. A series of press releases or something. Sort of.
Oh, The New Life Circulars.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
it. Reading those.
Yeah.
I never got the feeling that they were helpless or hopeless or aimless. I got more feeling of Baba giving orders and Baba doing money hassles and Baba running around the town taking saints at the big festival and Baba making plans and changing plans and all those kind of things. So after reading that, I find it hard to understand how you see that as such an important thing.
Oh, well, it's very important. If you just study that statement there, that new life statement.
But the statement doesn't jive with the circulars, as far as I can see. And I can see the statement.
Well, you have to remember that there's two ways of looking at the new life. There's the new life as it is lived in spirit, the spirit of the new life, which is what we have there. And you also have what Baba was also, Baba at the same time was involved in, necessarily, which is the new life work. And when you get these circulars, you have Baba doing universal work in the new life.
Well, then he's not the normal old man who's in seeking God.
Well, there were many times during your life where Baba said, I am now stepping back into the old life for a few hours or for a few moments.
No, that was only once.
Was there only once?
Yeah.
Where he said that he would be doing universal work.
He stepped back into the old life. But he was doing, the new life did involve, even though Baba was living in principle and in spirit, the life of an ordinary man, he also had work that was being accomplished. Part of God's work is being accomplished through him in this new life. And when you read the circulars, it's directly connected with the work. And Baba accomplished the work directly through his own actions and through his individual companions, or the people associated with him, either near or far. Baba's work was, for example, connected with Elizabeth Patterson, and Elizabeth was allowed to be in continuous correspondence with Baba while he was in the new life because he was concerned with her work here at developing the center, building the center. And Baba was waiting for Elizabeth to invite him to come to the center, possibly during the new life. And Baba's work was either done personally by him, by contacting thousands of saints and holy people, or so-called saints and holy people, or by sending out his people who were not then called disciples, but were called his companions, sending them or telling them to do specific work which needed to be done. But in the old life, as a perfect master, Meher Baba did not do all of his work directly. He did his work through contact on the inner planes with agents. And as I understand it, Baba disbanded all interconnections with agents through the subtle and mental planes and worked just directly on the gross plane.
During the new life.
And so, Baba has said that Buddha stationed himself on the fifth plane, and that Jesus stationed himself on the fourth plane, if you mm-hmm. Well, as I understand it, during the new life, Baba had literally stationed himself on the gross plane, which means that he did not work through these higher planes with agents as he did in other phases, as he had done before that in the earlier year in the 20s and 30s and 40s. Baba had was continually directing agents through the inner planes. And Baba went back to directing agents through the inner planes after he went through the fiery free life. But in the new life, Baba was completely established and stationed on the gross plane, and he worked in terms of the limitations of the gross world, and he didn't make any contact with agents. I think that basically the difference.
That makes a lot clearer.
So then the life of hopelessness and helplessness was basically in comparison to the old life.
Yep, because the helplessness and hopelessness was the fact that Baba was working through all of the obstructions of the gross world that we know and experience, being gross conscious people. We live our lives in terms of the obstructions of the gross world. And during the new life, Baba lived his life entirely in terms of the obstructions of the gross world, and didn't make any access to the higher planes, either the subtle planes or the mental planes or the seventh plane.
Didn't Baba also say something to the fact that he was cutting out a new path, a new way?
Yeah, a new way.
A new way for others to get to.
For others to come to him, to come to God. Yes. By living the life. In other words, what the path had become too internalized. The spiritual path had become too internalized. Very few mystics have ever been geniuses enough to externalize the spiritual path as St. Francis did. Francis was a rare exception among mystics, that St. Francis was able to live the life actively in the outer world. It was a lot like the new life, the life that St. Francis lived. But he was way, way ahead. I mean, he was just a super genius of a spiritual person.
What was the name of that book that you just found last?
It's called My God and My All. And I forget the author.
Gurdesh. What was it? Gurdesh or something? Gurdesh.
Gurdesh.
Yeah.
Somebody told me it is in the library.
I'm supposed to get 2 copies for you and in New York, and I've tried several.
Well, what's it about?
It's about the life of St. Francis.
The life of St. Francis is just a wonderful book.
And it's out of print, and it's very hard to find. I have several bookstores trying to find it for you at the center. I don't know how successful you'd be in finding it.
Yeah, I
can
find it in the library sometimes.
Right.
Okay. I think we've talked enough. Thank you. Thanks for listening, and I really appreciate it. See, when somebody has something to say, it really makes it more. It clarifies a lot more than if I just keep talking, because I half the time don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe Baba does. But.
You may mention just briefly of the fact that you're amazed that a lot of people love Baba so and have never met him.
Yeah.
But we have to thank Baba today for channeling an explanation of the stages of his life through you. That was as well as good as Baba could have explained it.
Oh, no, Baba could have explained it much better. Believe me.
Baba
had a way of explaining things that was just unbelievable.
Baba explained it to me today through you.
A little bit.
I've ever heard
a little bit.
The 8 stages of the super. The 8 stages. We have everybody.